As I was preparing for the message today, I had a whole lot of B words that kind of followed through. So you may not get it, but in my notes, it's really clear that the different points start with the letter B. So, you know, if you get it, well done. If you don't, never mind. We'll get there eventually. But the first B, I will give you the big narrative. So here we find ourselves in the story that we've been following through over many, many, many months. And we've had the climax of the whole, I'm going to have trouble with my throat today, climax of the whole deal when Jesus was died, but then he was raised from the dead. So then we enter into a new act. And as we look at the whole idea of Jesus moving on to be with his Father, there's something that's happening. And it's no longer the space for just Jesus to be in the room, but he's inviting the disciples, he's inviting us into that very space. So after Jesus was raised from the dead, he revealed himself quite specifically. I've got a bottle here, it's all right. He revealed himself quite specifically, didn't he? He revealed himself to individuals. Remember when he talked to Thomas around his doubting? He talked to Peter, Cephas, James. So he talked with individuals. He met with the two on the road to Emmaus, and he brought revelation of who he was. And it was almost like this time of 40 days from when he was raised from the dead to when he went to be with his Father. He had this 40 days of intense kind of purposeful revelation to the disciples and those around them of who he was and what was going on. He met with those, the 500, it says in 1 Corinthians, it talks that Jesus met with up to 500 at one stage. So Jesus constantly went through this space of bringing revelation. He also did like supernatural popping in and out thing going on. As he entered the room and all the doors were locked and he just turned up. I mean, can you imagine the disciples at this time? It's like, what the heck is going on? You know, they're sitting there. They don't quite know what's going on. All of a sudden, Jesus turns up and he says, oh, peace be with you. And I'm going, whoa. So Jesus was in his non-just earthly person. And this whole sense of heaven colliding with earth is just starting to happen in a greater way. And all the things that Jesus did. And that's the whole thing of us now. We too get invited into the story. We too are the ones who get invited to be the ones who bring the kingdom of God into our spaces. When I was younger, I used to do a bit of athletics. And one of the things I used to really enjoy was the relay race. 4x100 relay was one of the races I did. I always did leg number 3, and it was always on a curve. I don't know why, that was my bit. I wasn't fast enough to do the final leg, but that curve I really enjoyed. There was one, I was at a competition, I used to run for the Ashurst Athletic Club, and I think it was called the AAA, Amateur Athletic, anyway. there was one race we were doing down in the Kapiti Coast somewhere, and we were representing and all the rest of it, and I was in the third leg, and the baton change just went perfectly. You know, see in the Olympics sometimes, they put their hands out and they run along and then they drop it and everything goes to custard. But this one, it worked perfectly. And I actually think we might have won. And my coach came up to me and said, why don't you run that fast when you're running an individual race? But there was something about being part of the team I loved, and I enjoyed running around the corner. But this whole thing that we're entering into, it's like the baton is changing, isn't it? Jesus finished everything he's needed to do on earth, and it's time for him to go back to see Dad. And now he's passing the baton on to his disciples. He's passing the baton on to us as we enter into that act. It's almost like if we use the theatrical analogy a little bit further, it's not perfect, but it's okay. It's like the understudies, it's their time to step up into the big time. And the disciples have spent all this time as understudies to Jesus, and they're going, we're trying to learn, we're trying to get it. And how often did Jesus go, guys, no, you've got to do it like this. You need more of this to present the act. And how often they got it wrong. But it's now Jesus saying, I'm passing the baton to you guys. But don't worry, because I'm going to empower you to do it. So that's the big narrative. And so we come to the part, the next B hint, is when Jesus goes back to the Father. So Jesus, we find him sitting there and, you know, talking with his disciples, and all of a sudden he is completely engulfed in cloud. And he's taken up into heaven. And often clouds in the Old Testament as well as New, cloud talked about the presence of God. Remember in the people in the story we talked around when people of Israel were walking around the desert, and they were led by cloud by day and fire by night. And there was a time in 2 Chronicles where it talks about the cloud of God, the glory of God, filled the temple so much that the priests couldn't stand up. They couldn't minister because of the presence of the living God. Was it at the Transfiguration when the cloud encompassed them, the three that were there, and God spoke out of the cloud, "This is my son. It's good. He's good. I'm pleased." Not those exact words, but you know, you get the idea. So the cloud is often talking about the sense of God's presence. So there shouldn't be any confusion to us around Jesus being engulfed by cloud. Speaking of being present again with the Heavenly Father. But also we have this this little narrative, and it talks around heaven. And often we've seen, and you know, history has got this interesting view about what heaven is. But heaven isn't a time and place and space that is in the space that we're in. Heaven is a place where God is. I like the way that N.T. Wright puts it. He says, "In the Bible, heaven is not a location within our own cosmos of space, time, and matter. Heaven and earth are the two halves of God's created reality. Heaven is God's dimension, and earth is ours." And then he adds, "From the ascension onwards, the story of Jesus' followers takes place in both dimensions. Heaven has come to earth." There's this collision of heaven and earth. There's this collision of God, kingdom of God, and kingdom of this world. So another thing that Jesus had to go to the Father, because he was being obedient. It says in John 14, 28, it's like, I'm telling you, he's talking to disciples, "I'm telling you, I'm going to go away, but I have to go away because I have to be obedient to what my Father says." Not only that, but he says it's actually good for you, disciples. In John 16, he says, "Now, you know, I know we've talked about this and it's you're feeling sad and all the rest of it, but if I don't go, then we can't send you the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. If I don't go, you can't take the baton. If I don't go, there's no space for it to be a global, because the Holy Spirit comes," which we'll talk about next week if I aren't sick. But it's good for the disciples, so, and also it's good for us that we also can receive the Holy Spirit. But before he went, Jesus left instructions. And some of them were in those 40 days of intense kind of revelation, but others them right through his ministry. And I think it caps it off with a few of them. And one of them is, he says, "Love God and love your neighbor." If we did that, it covers a multitude of everything, and it covers all the law and prophets. That's fairly simple, really, isn't it? Love God, love your neighbor. He also gave pretty clear instructions around the Great Commission. And it's interesting, in the four different Gospels, it's kind of treated in different ways. Matthew is pretty clear about how it goes. You know, "Go therefore, making disciples of all nations." And he finishes it with, "I am with you always." So you can imagine how the disciples were kind of not quite getting it clear when Jesus started talking about him going. He says, "Are you going to be with us always? But you say you're going to go as well? What's going on?" In Mark, it talks about preaching the good news to all, and everyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he also adds there'll be signs and wonders. You can cast out demons. You'll be able to speak in different languages and different tongues. Walking on snakes, drinking poison. I don't know why it's there, but it is. And also that when you lay hands on, you'll see the healed. You'll see the sick healed. In Luke 24, it talks about you will be witnesses. There's not a lot about it, but it kind of builds into this little space. And then he says, you will be the witnesses. And in John, it's really interesting because the day, I think it's the day after or the day of the resurrection, and Jesus comes to them and he says, as the Father has sent me, I send you. And then what does he do? He breathes on them and says, receive the Spirit. And I'm going, oh, that's not Pentecost. Oh, what's going on there? But I almost wonder whether Jesus breathed on them because they needed the Spirit to get the revelation of what was actually going on. Because there was this whole thing happening, and it leads us into my next B, which is the disciples were befuddled or bewildered. I don't know which one to use. I don't even know if befuddled's a word, but I thought I'd throw it in there. They still didn't quite get it. And even in this scripture in Acts, you know, Luke talks around, so is now the time you're going to make Israel a kingdom again and you're going to build it all back together? They were still looking at a political answer. They were waiting for the Messiah to come and bring them back to their rightful place. They would have their temple back. Everything would be right because Israel would be back in its rightful place. Here they were looking for a political answer. They were looking for a military answer probably as well. And it's interesting. They still didn't quite get it. And then we hear that they were looking intently. It's really interesting. They weren't just looking at the cloud. They were looking intently. And you look at the word and it's kind of being fixed. They were fixated on it. They were absolutely, what's going on? And you can imagine though, eh? I mean, here they are sitting in the room. Jesus turns up and then disappears again. Every now and then he just turns up. And then they're going, oh, so is he going to turn up again? What's going on? Is he going to come back? Or is it going to be like the transfiguration when God the Father spoke? Come on, is that going to happen? And they were just looking. They had no idea, I don't think. I don't know. Maybe they did. But it's like they were transfixed by the cloud when they knew that Jesus had said, I'm going to go to the Father. He'd said it time and time again. I'm going to leave you, but I won't leave you alone. I'm going to go. My time is coming. Constantly throughout the Gospels. So they were very confused. And that's when the angels step in. Good old angels bringing clarity, bringing direction. And they say, why are you looking in the clouds? Why are you looking up there? Why are you looking at the sky? The same way that he's gone, he's going to come back. And I just want to say, I don't think this is Luke trying to give a theological discourse on the second coming. I think we have to be a little bit careful how we read scripture in this. But anyway, it is going, why are you looking in the cloud? What's up? It reminded me of when somebody else was looking for something and angels turned up and said, why are you looking here? In the tomb, the day after Jesus was, or the day Jesus was raised from the dead. And they were looking in the tomb going, where is he? What's going on? What? Again, completely bewildered, befuddled, whatever it was. They don't know what's going on. And the angel comes and says, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He told you he was going to rise again. So the angels come and they say, why are you looking in the sky? You knew this was going to happen. But, wait, there's more. There's this promise. There's this promise of the baptism of the Spirit. John baptized you with water. But in a few days, you'll be baptized by the Holy Spirit. And that word baptized is baptizo. And it's a word, I love the deeper meaning of this word. One of them is if you have a massive jar of wine or liquid, and you get a cup and you dip it in, and it as you lift it up, it just completely full and overflows. Baptizo. Or if you've got an amazing vat and you've got a cloth that you want to change the color of, and you push the cloth right down into the depths of it and you stir it round and it comes up completely transformed in color. That's the meaning of being baptized, of being completely immersed. Like the image of a sponge. When you put a sponge in water, it fills up, it swells, it becomes part of the sponge. I mean, I think of some of the messy church activities where sponges have been thrown at me, which is actually true, but where they throw sponges. And the weight of the sponge is so much greater, and easier to throw, mind you, but the weight of the sponge is so much greater when it is full of water. And in the same way, as we are full of the Spirit, we have the weight of God with us. But wait, there's more. And the disciples had to wait. They saw Jesus leave, and he didn't come back this time. But what did he say? He said, wait here. You will receive. And how did they wait? Well, we read in the story that they were kind of living together in the space as they went back to the place that they lived. So they were living together. They were eating together. They were sharing life together. Sounds like being community together. They spent time constantly in prayer. They were praying. And if you go down to verse 16, which I didn't get Sue to read, but it talks around Peter started to expound on the scriptures and he started to reveal what was going on was actually spoken of in the scriptures. There was a revelation that they were starting to get, that they were starting to understand that this was God's big story. They started to get it. And that's one of the reasons that they replaced Judas. So they were waiting. Not in a space of emptiness and void, but they were actively waiting. So let's bring it all back and be real. So apparently Be Real is a new app. I was talking to one of my daughters about this, who she says, you must tell them I don't have it on my phone. And I'm not a great social media anything because I don't understand it and can't do it. But there's this app called Be Real that you get a little alert on your phone and you have to take a picture within 2 minutes of where you are right now and or your surroundings. Like that's, it's almost like social media trying to go, oh yeah, it's real, it's all real. But actually, don't get me wrong, the algorithm is saying use this, spend that, do whatever, be popular. Now, anyway, we won't go too far into that. But we need to look at the space of where do we find ourselves now? For us being real now, as we today celebrate the Ascension Sunday, that Jesus is gone, but he has the promise of the Holy Spirit. And we find ourselves in that same waiting space, though, don't we? Because although we have the Holy Spirit, we are still waiting for the promise of Jesus' return. So we are waiting. We're living in the space of, yes, the kingdom of God is here, but it's not all here yet. Talks to the Holy Spirit of being the seal. The seal of what's to come, the promise of what's to come. We see in Revelation 21 where God will be dwelling with men. There'll be no more death, no more tears, or tears will be wiped away, away with pain, and I will make everything new. There is a time when Jesus will come again and he will fulfill the destiny of everything. And he will be the one that we look to. He will be the one who ties all things together. He will be the one that is the God with us in a new heaven and a new earth. So we find ourselves in a place of waiting. But we are a people of the Spirit. We are able to hold and be infused with the Holy Spirit. Talks in 1 Corinthians how we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are the dwelling place. We are like clouds. We are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, which allows us to do the mission that he's given us. You see, we live in the now and the not yet. We are waiting for the fulfillment of the kingdom of God to come, but we are in the space we are. Take a picture and we look at our world and it's a bit of a mess. Take a picture of myself and I'm a bit of a mess. But we are still in the space of knowing that we are people of God, we are people of His Spirit, and we are waiting. When we, I think it was one of the first America's Cup competitions, and I think it was Peter Montgomery was the commentator, and they were waiting for the wind to come in so they could sail the boats. Need wind for boats, for yachts. So he was sitting there, and he said it, I don't know how many hundreds of times, hurry up and wait. We've just got to hurry up and wait. And there's this sense of us waiting that we need to hurry up and wait. We can't sit there and be idle. We can't sit there and just look at the sky going, sheesh, I wonder what's going on, and not look anywhere else. We can't be looking in the grave and living in our past brokenness, our pain. We can't live in that space. Yes, it's part of our world to look up, to look down, but we are to fix our eyes on Jesus, Hebrews 12, the author and perfecter of our faith. We need to be actively waiting. So how do we do that? We do community well together. We serve and look after one another. We eat together. We pray together. It's why we've so encouraged being in a triplet or a small group where you can pray together. Somebody came, I prayed with someone this week who's actually got COVID now. anyway, side thought, funny things come into your head. Praying with someone this week, and he says, I hope you don't mind me coming and praying with you. And I go, mate, it's one of the best things I do all week. It's one of the most encouraging things I do is when we have opportunity to pray together. If you are not in a triplet, find one other person and then find another other person and just start praying together. If you're in a small group, make sure that part of your gathering is that you start to pray together. Start to pray for those five people who we want to see come to know Jesus. And I've got to say, the five people I've chosen, there is no way it can happen without God moving into their space. Because so far, it's no-go area. And I think Elaine and I, we've got numbers of people in that space. We think, God, it's impossible. You've got to do something. But surely we need to pray. Surely that's the thing we need to do, is invite God into their space. So we need to pray together. We need to gather together. We need to be together. We need to look at Scripture together. We need to be obedient to the instructions that God has given us, because the baton has been passed to us now. And as we'll see next week, when the Holy Spirit comes, He allows us to do the impossible. So we receive the baton as Jesus is now with His Father, interceding for us, so that we can be the people of God that we're called to be. So let me just finish with that quote from C.S. Lewis, from N.T. Wright again. In the Bible, heaven is not a location with our own cosmos of space, time, and matter. Heaven and earth are the two halves of God's created reality. Heaven is God's dimension and earth is ours. From the ascension onward, the story of Jesus' followers takes place in both dimensions. We live in both dimensions of heaven and earth. And sometimes our eyes get so fixed on the ground, we forget. So can I remind you, you are part of heaven and earth as we wait. The baton is in our hands. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for your love for us, for your incredible support and faithfulness to us. Thank you that you have allowed us to see your glory in such little parts, but we know we are called to be your people, and you are the shepherd of us. So we lean into you today, and we say, have your way. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done here on earth in Palmerston North at All Saints as it is in heaven. Amen.